Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, coming to you from our studios here in Lower Manhattan, the Rockin' Morgan Studio. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket Can. Big hour coming up. Brady Quinn, 4:40 Eastern. So 40 minutes from now, next segment, Notre Dame. The Irish holding the key to ACC realignment on the heels of our Texas-Oklahoma discussion yesterday. We'll get back to that. Aaron Rodgers, the main story. He showed up at the facility today. No audio yet. No communication yet with the media. Obviously, Stu Getz is all over that. Once something drops, we'll get it for you. We'll play it for you right on the air. But this should be fun. Like, there's just, sir, I don't know about you, there's certain teams, and this applies to all the sports, that are just a little bit more enjoyable to talk about. Either they're more prone to implosion, which makes an interesting conversation, or underachievement, or they're incredibly talented and they're fun to watch, or maybe a little bit of both. One of my favorite teams to talk about the last couple of years is absolutely the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
I love talking about the Browns.
You know why? It's because they have interesting characters. And it starts with Baker Mayfield, who probably is overexposed to an extent, but who cares? I mean, it's 2021 and really 2018-19 when it started, but he's very visible. Like, you see him, you can relate to him in a sense. He's got that, like, old school cockiness that, you know, the high school quarterback, whether it be, you know, old, like, I don't, trying to think of a movie from back in the day where you know, the quarterback was just cocky.
Like the Program.
Yeah, like The Program or
great movie.
Blue Chips, any of those.
All
things,
those are good.
Right?
Blue Chips was basketball, though.
I mean, not Blue Chips. What was the one?
Friday Night Lights?
Yeah, Friday Night Lights. So they had blue uniforms. But when you think about, like, that quarterback,
yeah.
That's Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
You know, he's Hollywood, you know what I mean? And so he's interesting, and he's gotten good to the point where he can lead his team to the postseason. I'm not saying he's an elite top five quarterback, but he's just good, and he's fun to watch. And then you throw in the talent around him from Odell and Landry and Joku.
Higgins pretty good too. Yep. Rashard Higgins
is there. Yeah, exactly.
Pretty good
about him. They got the defensive players as well who are interesting. And it's been drama. Like, there's been so much drama around the team, and we're hitting them at their rising up point. Right at some point, every team just figures it out. And it's been a long time for Cleveland Browns fans, but they're figuring it out. And so it's happening right in front of our eyes, like this ascension. And it's just, it makes it fun to follow. And because none of those guys feel like jerks, you know what I mean? It's like you want to root for them, even if you're not a Cleveland Browns fan.
Yeah, and listen, their tortured history absolutely plays a role in why I enjoy talking about them and why they're such an interesting story. Listen, there's a lot of teams every year that go 11-5 in the NFL, but there's not a lot of teams that go 11-5 and exercise a slew of demons in the process. They won at Pittsburgh for the first time, and I forget how long, but that was a playoff game. They hung 28 points on them in the first quarter. Now, they could have won that game at Arrowhead. They lost by 5 points, I want to say, to the Chiefs, and I think it was five points in the divisional matchup. You mentioned some of their skill guys. What about the offensive line with Conklin, who they signed the year before from Tennessee? Wills is a very good draft pick so far. They've got the runners. They've got the charisma. Stefanski year two. They've got this fan base that's dying. just that is such an ardent like, there's fan bases who are supportive, and then there's fan bases who are supportive, but also incredibly informed. And that's them.
Yes.
Like, those fans know football. Think about all the draft nights. We're going to have one of, you know, Brady Quinn's going to join us later. Brady Quinn for a minute. And he looked the part. Mm-hmm. The chiseled jaw. He's yoked.
Right.
You know, has a good arm, played at Notre Dame, looks the part. Didn't work out for him with the, not really his fault, I'm saying, but for a multitude of reasons didn't work out. Much like it didn't work out with, you know, Brandon Whedon and mm-hmm. Tim Couch and all these other quarterbacks that have been there. There's just myriad issues from ownership to scouting to coaching, disconnect. It's been a roller coaster with a lot more downs than ups. And I really, you say you watch sports because you enjoy greatness. I watch sports for that as well. But I truly enjoy seeing, you know, these downtrodden situations turn.
Yeah.
I do. Whether even like were they still the Devil Rays?
Tampa.
Yes, they were still, I think they were still the Devil Rays, but when Tampa went to the World Series in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When the Cardinals went to the Super Bowl. Like to see the Browns go into a playoff game and Heinz Field and score 28 points in the first quarter. Like that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
I love that. And hopefully one of these days I'll have it with my teams, the Jets and the Knicks, but maybe that's why I relate to this, because most of my fandom is of torment.
Yeah, is of
torture.
When are we going to finally? When's it finally going to happen?
I'm rooting for it.
In some ways, because even though it's not your team, you just kind of understand the joy that these fans have to be feeling right
yes,
now.
Yes, correct. Correct.
That's interesting.
But now let's play this from Odell Beckham Jr. All right, so there's a good story. There's generating some enthusiasm and praise, but then there's also maybe taking it a little too far. I'm not saying that Odell did that, but let's play this. He's talking, he's got grand lofty aspirations, which is what you want, which is what you certainly want. But let's dissect OBJ's comments after this. He's basically saying the Browns, there's nothing that we can't accomplish.
I feel like we have a special opportunity. You know, I was down in Austin with Bake and seen him a few times since then, just kicking it, hanging out. And it's just something that feels special about this team, something that feels special. As I said, when I first got here, I wanted to be like the Patriots and you want to win Super Bowls. And it's like, I watched them compete last year, and it was like, I think that there's something special going on. There's something special with this city. Watching the Bucks win a championship, you know, inspires you even more. It's like, Cleveland needs a championship, and I think that's the goal. That's the mentality in that building, and that's, you know, what I want to be a part of.
Okay, now, I don't think that, first of all, I think it's very measured. I think when you hear, oh, we're going to play something from OBJ, you're like, what is he going to say?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a very sensible, very mature take. I don't think it's off base.
That's the word I was going to use. It sounds very mature.
It does. Right? You know, and OBJ's guy, he's got to find his role. He's got to squeeze him properly because they're going to run the ball 25 times a game, minimally. Mm-hmm. And in the rain, and they had some really bad weather a year ago. We talked about that, especially early when Baker was a bit skittish, right?
Yep.
They might run it 30, 35 times. You know, maybe not quite like Tennessee, but not that short of what Tennessee does on certain Sundays against weak defensive fronts. They can run the hell out of it. So there's going to be days where Odell's running a lot of empty routes. And when we saw that with the Giants, you know what we saw?
Yeah.
We saw a lot of this. Yeah. We saw a lot of, you know, banging his head. We saw a lot of woofing, a lot of barking. If he pulls that, he can pull the whole team down with him, but I don't think he will.
No, I don't think he will either. And I look at their schedule, and while they start with the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City, which is not fun.
No. Kansas City didn't look that great in the Super Bowl.
True, true. But I feel like Pat Mahomes learned a lot about himself, and he's going to be even better than he has been, not trying to force anything. But whatever, Kansas City is what it is. But then it's the Texans and the Bears and the Vikings and the Chargers and Arizona and in Denver. So it's kind of like, they're all, after the first one, winnable games.
They should have four wins early.
That's right. And so if that happens and, you know, the pressure of the expectation gets dampened a little bit, so it's like people kind of realize that, man, this team is as good, even if it's superficial because they've won some games, this team is as good as advertised. It just makes it so much easier to continue to fulfill that. But if they get off to a bad start, lose some games they're not supposed to, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, here we go again. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge I want to see in this Browns team, because things go wrong all the time for every team every year, at least in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the Browns hit adversity, how do they respond? Because last year they really didn't hit a lot of adversity. You know, they did well. Baker obviously, you know, was skittish, but whatever. He was a little off early on in the season.
Well, didn't they get drilled in week one? Didn't they lose like 30-7 or 30? Like, they got crushed.
It wasn't
Pittsburgh.
Baltimore, maybe?
Yes, I think it was the Ravens. They got killed,
they
right?
38-6.
38-6.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. But then they kind of stabilized themselves, and they won four in a row. And so all of a sudden, it felt like, all right, this Browns team could be good, and then they obviously were good because they made the postseason and then got to the playoffs losing to the Kansas City Chiefs in what was not a blowout game. I mean, they lost by 5 to the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason, and they held Kansas City to 22 points.
Mm-hmm.
So this Browns team is well-built on both sides of the ball. So the expectation is what's gotten really high. How they live up to it, and do they have the players to live up to it? That's the question we'll find out.
That's the fascinating part of this, because that you can't quantify it until you actually see it develop.
That's right.
But to me, I think it's time for a golf analogy. I've been off for a week or so. I was in yesterday. But to me, the Browns, I'm going to compare it to, say, like even the Warriors. Like, it doesn't have to be a football team, right? But the Warriors, who are going to reload this season, obviously. Let's say they get Bradley Beal, or they get Damian Lillard, or they don't, but Clay's back and they still start 2-5.
Yeah.
There'll be nothing to worry about.
No.
Nothing, because you rely on the DNA of what you've already seen, who they are as an organization. And it's like the golfer who maybe gets a little bit of a crooked number early, instead of saying, oh, geez, I'm going to throw up a high number, he's like, I just got to stabilize this, come back with a few birdies. And they do.
Yes.
Whereas with the Browns, if the Browns were a golfer, they're like you and I, where, you know, I don't know about you, but like I get to the, now I've got the watch, so it's all big.
Yeah.
But I start getting on like the sixth hole. I might write like the number next to the six. I'm like, all right, so I got a 5 and a 6. I got 11 plus, you know, double book. Like, I'll look halfway through my front nine. I'll see like a 30, whatever the number is. All right, if I do this, I can get a 45 on the front.
Yeah, I know what
that's
you mean.
That's a defeatist way of looking. Like, that's
right.
Expecting the worst.
That's right.
And that's how the Browns fans, that's what they're conditioned to do, because that's what they've been subjected to. I don't think that plagues this team this year.
No.
Maybe I'm investing too much, but I know they're better than Pittsburgh. I think they're better than the Ravens, and I know they're better than the Bengals this year. I think they're the best team in the North.
I mean, I
do.
I'm probably still going to hold the Ravens.
Why?
Because the Ravens have an elite player at quarterback. He's different.
He was worse. He was 32nd in passing?
True, but
did you know that?
But he rushed for 1,000 yards.
Okay, 32nd in passing.
And the team rushed for, I think, 3,000, whatever it was. They dominate on the ground, which wins football games because it controls time possession. It controls field position. Their defense was really good.
They
as
lost
well.
Judon.
They did lose Judon. So, I mean, they're
they're good. I don't know if they're better than the Browns.
I'm going to hold
offensive
on.
Line.
I'm going to hold on to them a little. They did get. Yeah, they did lose. They lost a couple of offensive linemen.
I'd like the Browns to win this division.
We'll
I'm not
see.
Saying they're going to run away
we'll
with
see.
It.
We'll see.
Well, obviously, but I got it's July.
It,
I got to say, I got to make something. Yeah, I got to say something now.
It makes
That's
it,
what I think.
It makes
now.
It an interesting division because you don't know. I mean, could Big Ben respond and be great next year?
Be good.
Could.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule that. A lot of people. It's funny you say that. A lot of people have actually ruled that out.
That he can't respond and
have you ruled that out?
I haven't, because one, he looks good. Looks like he's in the best shape he's been in a while. Which, I mean, it's, I don't want to say he's
does
been.
He?
Well, he lost.
Looks like he hasn't been in good shape in 10 years.
Well, that's the point. He hasn't been, and he's looked heavy. Remember some of these offseason photos we see of him?
Yeah, with the beard. He looks like he was 55 years old, retired. Like,
you've been hunting in the woods for like,
come on, dude, you're a quarterback. Work out.
Like 4 months. But this year he came to camp. He actually looked in good shape.
He looked functional. I'm with you on that.
And so I think maybe he took it seriously this offseason. I feel like for a while he's been that guy who's just, he knows it's going to be okay because he's got such great talent around him. His offensive line was good. Their defense has always been, you know, at least very serviceable. They never have lost. They've never had a losing season with him. Did they? Maybe his first year. No.
That's first year.
He's never had a losing season. So it's almost like
Tomlin's never had a losing season. So,
but wasn't he one before?
I don't think Big Ben's ever had a losing season.
Yeah,
I'll check for
it. You might be right, but whatever. So my point is, even if he's only had one, it's in his mind, he's like, it's going to be all right once I get there.
Uh-huh.
And for the first time, I felt like Big Ben came into this offseason or went into the offseason like, I need to get better, and I need to get in good shape. You know, we don't know what the offensive line is going to be like. There's an urgency to win again if we can. We know the defense is going to be good offensively. We have some skill position players. We just got Najee Harris. You know, it all feels like it's coming together. The one X factor would be Big Ben, and that's something you would never say about Ben Roethlisberger, is that he was going to be the X factor because he was so steady. But after last season, then you kind of have to start putting that into the equation. What is Big Ben going to look like, and how's he going to play? I feel like he took this offseason with a lot of seriousness.
He better.
And he's
hanging
on
by threat, no?
Yeah, well, I mean, last year, maybe.
I don't see him. You see him playing in two more years?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
You're kind of hanging on a thread.
Yeah, I think talking about his career. Like, just,
yeah, he's like, hanging by a thread.
Could this be his last year? With
it
that being
be.
Said, he won 12 games last year.
I understand that.
You know what I mean?
Also, yeah, and he had no – they couldn't get the short yardage when they needed. He couldn't run the ball. He actually had a losing season. Their last losing season as a franchise was the year before he came.
Yes.
Which is what I thought, 03. But he had a personal losing record in 06. He missed a game. He went 7-8. I guess they won the game, obviously, that he didn't play. So they finished above at 500 as a team. Everything else has been, you know, he's got 8 double-digit win seasons, two of which are 12, a 13-0, obviously, in 04 as a rookie. And he's won a ton. I mean, he's 156 and 74 and 1.
Yeah. No, he had 2 years with Cowher. That's what I couldn't remember. He had 2 years with Cowher. One, his rookie season, they won the championship. And then the second season, that's when Bill retired. After that season, Bill retired, even though they had a really good season.
So it's going to be a fun division. And just to, you know, full circle here, because we started and the meat of this conversation was about the Browns. I've seen this more of a local thing, but I've seen this so much. And I fall victim to it as well, because I kind of view more optimistically than negatively. You know, every year St. John's fans hit me up at the, what are we going to do? How are we going to be this year? How are we going to be? And, you know, I'm from, as a young kid, St. John's was dominant, and it's been pretty lean 20 years now. And I skew favorably, not blindly. I'll call them out after a bad loss, even though I do the games.
Yeah.
But I think with St. John's fans, and even me to a bit of an extent, you are a little preconditioned. Oh, this guy just got ruled ineligible. Oh, this guy's going to transfer. Oh, you know, when other schools lose transfers, the other schools are like, we'll just reload.
Yes.
Which St. John's actually did effectively this summer. And they're going to be, I think they might, put it this way, Rothstein loves them coming into the season.
That's all you need to know. That's a good thing.
He's high on their list.
And he's been following them for 6 months now.
He's been following everybody really for 25, 30 years at this point. But yeah, he knows his stuff. St. John's will be good. But even the fans who think that they'll be good because they know what they have coming back and what they brought in, because they haven't won, you know, for a while, it's like, oh, what could go wrong? That's the Browns mentality versus a Duke or even a Kentucky coming off a lean year. Wildcat fans aren't sitting. Now, they might be mad about last year. They're not saying, oh, God, I hope we can. They're just saying, we're going to reload, damn it. Give us those blue chippers. Give us the five stars. Let's go kick some ass. That's what Kentucky fans are saying.
That's right.
And that's the difference. And if the Browns can just get over that mental threshold, which I think that they will. Matter of fact, check that. They already have. When you go into Heinz Field and you score 28 points in the first quarter, I know I've dropped that stat three times this segment, but you never win in that place.
Yeah.
And then in a playoff game, you score four touchdowns in the first quarter with everybody watching. You have exercised demons.
Yeah,
it's time to it's go time.
Agreed.
I'm buying the Browns. I am buying them. All right. Coming up next, let's get back to the conversation we had yesterday, and you drilled home extensively, very well, when I was out about the shifting winds in college football. Now, there's one team, and not Texas, not OU, that holds all the cards. However, to cash in that card, they're going to have to do something they've always been resistant to doing. We'll get to that. We're talking about the Irish. That's next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites.
So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. This weekend on CBS, a lot of options for everybody on the Tube, starting Saturday at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific. Summer Hoops, Big 3's back. Then on Sunday at 2 Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, you get a little of the fittest athletes compete against one another, kick back on the couch, watch some of the CrossFit stuff, and followed at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, Major League Rugby Championship, all coming up this weekend on CBS. You know, as we talk about the undercurrent of change, not even undercurrent, I mean, it's in our face. I mean, it is like it's a tsunami of change, actually. It's the wrong way to frame it. It's definitely the waters are beyond choppy at this point. Things are changing.
Yep.
Conferences realignment, conferences that will have to be realigned based on the move by the two teams of the Big 12 going to the SEC. It now gets to Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this yesterday. There's really four big dogs out there that remain in terms of, you know, real viable, sustainable
conferences.
Yeah, well branding, yes, entities.
Yes.
And you would have, obviously, the Buckeyes, Michigan. They're not leaving the Big Ten. Big Ten, by the way, makes the most money per conference. A lot of people think it's the SEC. It's actually the Big Ten, around $50 million a school.
Mm-hmm.
SEC's around 40-ish, I believe.
45, 42 or something like that. But it's going to be more because of the new deal they signed with ESPN.
Yep, but right now the Big Ten is in front of the SEC. But they're still, I mean, those two schools will never leave. And if they did, that would be the end of college football, in my opinion. I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah.
USC in a very shaky, weak Pac-12, and the Irish.
Yep.
Who continue to live in this interesting, independent bubble that allows them to schedule some preeminent games and pick and choose,
yeah,
and dabble in the ACC with COVID. I know that was a unique setup. I get that. Have basketball affiliation and other sports.
Yeah.
Get about $15 million from NBC just for football. I think 10 or 11 million more from the ACC for the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But take as much as $25 or $26 million is nice. It ain't 40, 50, or 60, which is what the SEC is going to start cranking out pretty soon.
That's right.
What do the Irish do?
Look, the pressure on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish is a big deal because, one, of the money. But the other thing that you didn't mention, and let's make this assumption that we made yesterday, that there are going to be four super conferences.
Mm-hmm.
The SEC is, they're going to meet and talk about going to 16 with Texas and Oklahoma being added. So there'll be 16-team super conference. And then the ACC is going to have to say, well, we got 14. We got to figure out how, we got to get to 16 as well. Even though their media rights deal, it's a bad deal, and it's locked in till 2036 or something like that. It's a bad deal.
Oof.
It's a really bad deal. But this might change it. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
The Big Ten, they're loaded. They're doing what they're going to do, but there's still only 14 teams, and so they're going to have to find a way potentially to try to get to a super conference with 16, and the Pac-12 as well.
And by the way, I said USC possibly is a Big Ten,
right,
Western pod yesterday.
Right.
That could be 15.
Could
keep going.
Be. You're right.
Could be number 15.
Right. And so the Pac-12, they're going to have to start poaching and pulling, you know, the remnants of the Big 12, which I think is going away. So let's say there are four major conferences. And, you know, the college football playoff expands to 12 teams, which we know it's going to do because they've been talking about it for 3 months now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it makes sense. You got four conferences. You take three from each conference. They're your 12 playoff teams. Notre Dame not only has a problem monetarily keeping up with everybody else. Yeah, their $15 million a year deal from NBC is nice, but when Alabama's making $50 million, $45 million, and Ohio State's making $50 million, it pales in comparison. But they also might get left out of the college football playoff.
That's the point.
Right?
That's the money point.
So if they all band together.
I don't think might. I think it's I don't know how they would find their way in.
Yeah, they wouldn't be because, BT, they would collectively bargain, meaning the four major conferences would collectively bargain the TV rights and say part of this is the college football playoff, and you got to be in one of these conferences in order to be in the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is, and it leaves out the group of five and all the other stuff, but they've been leaving out the group of five since the beginning of this whole thing, so it doesn't necessarily affect them as much. But Notre Dame, who, by the way, accepted the lifeline, the COVID lifeline from the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
They went in the ACC, dominated it, right? They won it. They were undefeated in the ACC, got to the ACC championship game, and they obviously lost. But they made the college football playoff. So They won the ACC regular season title.
Trevor Lawrence also, you
doesn't
know.
Matter.
I'm just
doesn't
saying.
Matter. I mean, DJ.
That mattered.
We know that DJ played. DJ Uyangalele.
Uyangalele. I'm not trying to make fun of it. I honestly just always stumble over it.
We'll say it more as the starting quarterback for the Clemson
Tigers.
Yes,
we will.
As the season goes
just
on.
It's like I finally mean. Learned how to say Tua Tagovailoa.
That's right. They beat DJ, but when Trevor Lawrence played in the ACC championship, they lost. But the point is, they still made the playoff.
I know.
Right? And so Notre Dame benefited from being in the ACC. I think going forward, especially if this realignment talk keeps getting real and the Super Conference still starts to become real, realer, then they could risk being left out. And that's no good for the Fighting Irish because, I mean, they've worked really hard to get back relevant. Because it was a long time. Remember, they got blown out by Alabama in the national championship game?
That was with
the BCS.
What the hell was his name? Manti Te'o.
Yep. So they got.
That was bizarre. Remember that whole catfish thing?
That's right.
That was crazy.
Come on, dude.
You dating a computer? You dating a floppy disk? What's going on over here? That was weird.
Very, very weird.
It's odd.
What was worse is they got blown out by Alabama.
They were three steps behind Alabama.
So everybody
it wasn't even
was
close.
Saying, did they really even deserve to be in the game? You know, because it was BCS. It was just kind of like a, are they the second best team in the league? Yeah, in conference or in college football? Yeah, I think they are. Let's put them in there.
Yeah, I know. That was a tough watch.
They got wiped. And it took them a long time to recover from that.
Mm.
And they now have, you got to give Coach Kelly a ton of credit.
Love him.
Won the ACC Coach of the Year last year as well. I think they swept, too. Offense and defensive players of the year were all from Notre Dame. They benefited from being in the ACC. If they go super conference around college football, they have to be in one of these conferences. They have to be.
But I don't want to see them in the ACC. I want to see them in the Big Ten.
The problem,
they're just a better fit for the Big Ten.
Yeah, but...
Come on.
Yes.
They
yes,
just feel like yes, the Big Ten.
Yes, geographically.
Not even close.
And I think not like culturally, because that doesn't really matter, but...
Stylistically, more
yes.
for the Big Ten.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
But the challenge, if you don't put them in the ACC, and I'm talking from an ACC perspective now.
Okay.
The ACC feels weak.
Get Coastal Carolina. Build them up.
Yeah,
that's a natural
maybe.
Fit.
Yeah. I mean, it's geographically correct. But
I'm going to say it's a perfect solution, but it's not a bad one.
The reason the ACC was compelling last
Florida.
Year is because it wasn't Clemson and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was Clemson, Notre Dame. And, I mean, you look at the teams in the ACC, and we're not talking basketball. Miami, you know, they were good for a while. You know, obviously some big games they lost. North Carolina is interesting.
They're going to be good this year. Good
Sam
quarterback.
Howell, who is the quarterback BT just was alluding to, he's the preseason ACC player of the year.
And he's only a junior.
Yep. He's gonna be really good this year. He was really good last year. There's some good teams, but it still feels like Clemson and everybody else.
Yeah.
And so if Notre Dame goes to the ACC, the ACC just feels more stout, if that makes sense.
I got you. Well, let me hit you with this. I was just trying to mess around with a different configuration to the Big Ten. Let's say Notre Dame, and by the way, Brady Quinn's going to join us next, former Notre Dame quarterback.
Good. If they have to join a conference, which one would you rather
Perfect. Join? Well, that's the first thing we ask him, right? But let's put Notre Dame aside, and we'll save that for Brady. If I'm the Big Ten, I need to find two more teams.
Two more.
I've got 14.
14.
I've got one that I think you'll be lukewarm on based on, because I brought it up yesterday.
Go ahead.
And I've got another one that I have not mentioned, but I think could be interesting. The first one.
WVU.
Would be West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's fairly common. I've heard a few other people say that. Now I've heard nobody say this. You ready?
Go ahead.
West Point. Army. Are you telling me that Army, which the last couple of years had a nice football renaissance, couldn't compete with Illinois and Purdue and Rutgers and Maryland?
Oh, no doubt.
With that, they could.
Definitely.
I mean, they would not go there and go 0-10. They would not be Rutgers.
That's interesting.
I don't know if they would break away from, I mean, I don't.
What are they,
I don't,
AAC now?
Yeah, they are. I love the thought of a West Point. You know, you might have to throw a few more stands up there, Mikey Stadium up in the beautiful Hudson Valley. But the money you'll get, you know, just for being a member, $50 million.
That's an interesting suggestion.
I would love to see Navy. Like, imagine Navy, Michigan, Michigan State on a
You mean Army, Army.
Pardon me. Army, again, on a chilly Saturday, you know, in late October, early November. I think that would be great.
All right, so let's negotiate. Kick West Virginia to the ACC because they need it. Give us West Virginia, Notre Dame. You get Army, Navy.
Army and Navy.
In the Big Ten.
You want to bring Navy too?
I mean, why not? You got to keep the rivalry intact, right?
That would diminish, though, the game. No, well, I guess they could just play the last game against each other.
Exactly.
Like the Buckeyes and Michigan do.
It's always the last game of the season.
Yeah, I don't know. But we'll ask Brady Quinn, and we'll get his thoughts coming up next. I'm very, very curious if he is just, you know, holding on to that, hey, we're going to remain independent, or if he sees the light, or maybe he enlightens us. Maybe we're missing something. So Brady Quinn will join us next. Let's get the update from ACT, and we'll talk a little bit more about Notre Dame and the cards they hold and the decisions they have to make.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, Tiki and Tierney back here on CBS Sports Radio. It's the Tiki and Tierney Show. What's good? Time now for this week's Power Rankings, brought to you by Credit Karma Money. Open your free FDIC-insured account with no minimum balance, no overdraft fees, free withdrawals. Go to creditkarma.com. In descending order, number five, the White Sox, the Chi Sox, 59-41 on the year. Biggest lead in baseball in any division. They're 8.5 games ahead of the Cleveland soon-to-be Guardians. Number four, the Dodgers, 61-40. And they've got the best run differential in baseball at plus 146. So the Dodgers still doing Dodger things. How about the Astros, number three, 21 games over the break-even point. And they've got the AL best run differential at plus of 141. They're hitting again. I guess they're cheating again as well. The Red Sox, number two, the best record in the AL, 62-39. They won 7 of 10, just beat the Yanks 3 out of 4. And number one, bit of a surprise. Nobody saw this coming at the start of the season. The San Francisco Giants, they hold the best record in baseball coming off the beating of the Dodgers in 3 out of 4 this past weekend. A lot of surprise stories on that Giants team. And, I mean, it's almost August, so we can't say, is this sustainable? The only thing is, do they have the horses to win multiple playoff series?
Yep.
We'll see, but they're not going to suddenly melt and lose like 17 out of 25 and just dissipate. They're good. They catch the ball. They're a good team. All right, Teek and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Teek, our buddy, it's been a while, Brady Quinn, former Notre Dame quarterback, Fox Sports NFL analyst, hear him on the radio a lot as well. Brady, Teek and Tierney, welcome back, buddy. How you been?
I've been well, fellas. Thanks for having me on. Hope you guys have been well.
We have been. Thank you. Appreciate that. And it's, listen, pure nuttiness. I mean, on the precipice of monster changes We're already there with the players being able to monetize their branding, which is, and their imaging, which is a great thing. But now, of course, we know about Texas and Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And we want to bounce around, but we really wanted to use you to get your thoughts on what you think Notre Dame is thinking right now. Because if it goes to, say, four super conferences of 16 teams apiece, I know the NBC money, et cetera, et cetera. But that could leave them out of the playoff picture. What is Notre Dame thinking right now?
Well, look, as it currently stands, I mean, if it was a 12-team playoff, they're not being left out. In fact, this only makes them probably happier as you know, being an independent. And reason being is there's nothing that states that they need to be a conference champion, and it opens it up, obviously, to you know more teams who aren't conference champions to be a part of it. So in that scenario, in that world, I think they would much rather say to you, we'd rather have our independence to schedule the toughest schedule we can have, and we don't have to worry about that 13th game indicator. Now, granted, they won't get a bye. They'll never be a top four team.
Yeah.
But if you ask their athletic director, Jack Swarbrick, would he love to host a playoff game there in South Bend? You better believe he would. Mm-hmm. So I think with this current setup that they're proposing, and we can get into whether or not with the recent addition of OU and Texas eventually to the SEC, if that actually hurts or helps the case for a 12-team playoff. But, you know, as it currently stands, as far as that proposal, I actually think it only helps Notre Dame's chances as being an independent to getting in the playoff.
Hmm. You know, forget about what they're thinking for a moment. You played there. Obviously, you have rivalries. You know, you get to play USC, get to play some of the academies. Usually, Boston College is on the scale. Like, there's a lot of teams that you guys play that are repeat opponents here.
A lot of shillelaghs we play for there. Yeah.
True. But, I mean, I don't know. I certainly enjoyed it in high school and in college. Like, I enjoyed being in a division and having more traditional rivals. Like, I don't know. Didn't you miss that? Or don't you think any of the players maybe want that?
Well, look, I'm ignorant to it because that wasn't what I was born into at Notre Dame. You know, I only knew, like, the in-state rivalry we had with Purdue, you know, when we played them while I was there. I only knew about the history and tradition of why we play Navy and how they helped out the university during World War II and made it into a training base. Obviously, the longstanding tradition and rivalry that was USC, and then obviously the history with Michigan and maybe a reason why Notre Dame's not a part of the Big Ten because of some bad history with Michigan and how that all worked out. So, you know, those were the rivalries that I kind of knew and was kind of born into. But since I've been in the broadcasting, like, I can see your point. I really can. You know, you go to all these different conference media days,
yeah,
and you walk around and you're like, this would have been cool.
Yeah.
Like, when I went to it, I was already, you know, after 8 years of playing in the NFL, it was like, I went to a media day, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do here? And they're like, no, people talk to you. Like, they talk to the players, they talk to the analysts. And I was like, oh, all right. And so, yeah, it would have been cool. Because the other thing is like, it's a resume builder, right? You play in a conference. If you're one of the best players in college football, there's a lot of other accolades that come along with that. And so just from that standpoint, too, it would have been something else besides, you know, really only aiming for a national championship every year.
Yeah.
And maybe that played a factor, too, in some of our bowl performances where, yeah, we were playing the BCS. It wasn't the national championship. It was maybe harder for guys to be quite as amped or excited about it, even though it was still a big deal back then.
Yeah, no, I think BT asked that question because of how I've been gassing him up about, I see the formation of super conferences coming simply for collective media bargaining rights, and then obviously the college football playoff, because the NCAA has been neutered so much, is more a deal with the four conferences as opposed to, you know, let the group of five whatever get in, or Notre Dame because they're independent, or BYU if they happen to have a season like they did last year with Zach Wilson. Like, it's more structured. Like, don't you feel that the exit of Texas and Oklahoma from the Big 12, now formally asking for permission to join the SEC, is going to start the boulder rolling downhill for the other conferences to also get to 16 and become super?
Yes and no. I mean, you have to think of, how does Texas A&M feel right now? You know, I mean, they weren't even consulted with all this, and they were the team that left the Big 12 because they wanted to be that Texas team representing representing the state in the SEC, right? That's always been the recruiting pitch against, you know, the Texases of the world, or whoever else you want to talk about in that state. So that's not even there anymore. I mean, they weren't aware of it. So that was a little bit awkward. I mean, I almost wonder, as much as you're going to OU Texas coming in, if you're not going to potentially lose some teams who might be saying, yeah, this hasn't worked out too well for us. Like, you know, I don't know that Missouri's been any more competitive. I think you can look at some of the other teams that might be disgruntled by it, and they might say, maybe here's an opportunity for us to go to a conference we feel like we're more valued in.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, you're generating the most revenue in the SEC, you've still got to now divide that up amongst more teams. And so that number might come down a little bit. So, you know, look, do I think we're moving towards more of that model? Sure, you can make that case. But I also think there's going to be maybe some reluctance of a bunch of teams wanting to join the SEC, given how the SEC and essentially really ESPN has done this. I think there could be a degree of some other conferences being suspect of what the motives are, the fact that they did this a lot in secrecy. And this actually may hurt the case for a 12-team playoff, which ESPN controls right now with the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
And only because of how they've gone about doing this behind closed doors in secrecy, I think it actually has rubbed a lot of different conferences and ADs the wrong way.
Interesting. Yeah. So we're talking to Brady Quinn. That's good analysis right there. Fox Sports analyst and, of course, former quarterback in the NFL. Notre Dame standout, won the Maxwell Award back in the day. I think that was 06. And Brady's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. So, you know, we've been kind of cherry picking and illuminating the brands that could be on the move and some brands that obviously would never move, like Ohio State and Michigan from the Big Ten. But the one brand that is going to be on the outside looking in, they've got to get their act together. Don't get me wrong, but USC. I mean, if you're USC right now, languishing in a bad Pac-12, you know, and all these other realignments going on, you've got to be a little jealous and antsy. I read an article yesterday, Brady, where they actually thought that there was a possible chance to introduce I know this sounds nutty, but a West Coast pod to the Big Ten. What do you think where's USC in 5 years? What are they doing?
It's such a tough question to answer because, you know, that university, and I was talking with one of their alums, a former football player there, Petros Papadakis, whose family's very dialed in and connected there in L.A., and, you know, he knows better than anyone else, but he's very critical of USC, and I think really more the structure, you know, how they're run from their athletic department and really just the president, what they prioritize. Like, I think that's always the biggest issue with me and looking at the Pac-12 is it's culturally different when you go out west to a game. Like, mm-hmm. I had said this too about Pac-12 media days. Like, when you go out to the Pac-12 media day, it feels almost like an obligation, and they're kind of celebrating the athletes, but really not. Dude, when you go to the Big 12 and the SEC and the Big 10, it's a big deal. It's huge. It's not only even a big deal for the players and the coaches, but the people who are there. It's big business. It just feels more like an afterthought on the West Coast. And I'm not saying this to disparage any of those schools or any of the players or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's just different. And I think when you look at how they handled COVID, you know, there were some conferences that looked at it as an opportunity, and there were some that just were like, we'll kind of wait and see what everyone else does. That's what the Pac-12 did.
Yeah.
And we can be critical of the Big Ten all we want, considering how Kevin Warren's first year kind of played things out, but he was conservative. And here's the thing is he made a statement early. Like, say what you want about the decision to not play as many games as the SEC or Big 12 or ACC, but he made that decision early, and he thought that everyone else would follow suit. Meanwhile, everyone followed more of the likes of the SEC, and then they went that route. But, you know, when you're talking about the Pac-12, you're really talking about USC.
Yeah.
Because that is the brand that leads them. And unfortunately, you know, I don't know that there's a lot of, you know, faith in Clay Helton. You know, he's not in control of hiring that you know, coaches on his staff.
Wow.
I think people look at some of the guys on his staff and they say Graham Harrell's the coach in waiting. That's a problem. Like, if you've got recruits who are looking at the guy who's the head coach, but they're thinking, yeah, this guy might be my head coach, like that's a bit of a problem. So they've got a lot of institutional issues, I think, with the way they prioritize that, you know, the way people are looking at that program right now. They haven't recruited to the likes of what they need to be. But also, they haven't developed kids either, and there's just not a lot of buzz. There's not a lot of juice, whether it's in Southern California or the Pac-12 or even nationally about USC as a brand right now.
Yeah, no, you can. It's clearly that way, and there's always the thought that they're going to underachieve. Brady, we only have about a minute here. So the question about the Big 12, because Texas and Oklahoma have now informed them that they're leaving, what do they do? How do they survive, or do you think it breaks apart?
Yeah, I think that's only two ways it can go. I mean, you know, they'll have to look at saying, should we just keep the 8 teams we have? You know, we're still considered a Power 5 conference. Or should we look at making additions and look at the AAC, for example? There's plenty of teams. There's mm-hmm. one in proximity that makes sense. You know, Houston, the UCFs, the BYUs, et cetera, et cetera.
Cincinnati.
That actually would make some sense because when you look at their TV share, the audiences are about the same for some of those games. So it maybe makes sense from that standpoint. But you'd have to think that you got to do something to expand to get that number up. Otherwise, you're subject to then to other conferences coming and pulling your teams, you know, pulling them away from you. And now you're not going to have a Big 12 altogether. So it's either in the next 2 years, I think you're going to see the entire thing dissolve, or you're going to see them have to add some teams to the Big 12. I don't know if there's a middle ground where they just stay at eight.
All right, give me 20 seconds here. We did a lot of Brown stuff today. You're a former Brown. Expectations soaring. I mean, how confident should the Browns fans? I love them. I think they're the best team in the North. How confident should the fans be right now?
I definitely think they're a playoff team. They should be confident. I just don't know if they're the best. There's so much still with Baltimore, and even I have a lot of respect for Pittsburgh, so it's always hard for me to make that declaration right now without seeing Pittsburgh play.
Gotcha. Brady, really good stuff. Fox Sports NFL analyst, former Notre Dame star, played in the NFL. Brady, appreciate you, buddy. Brady Quinn, everybody. Thanks
so much,
man,
for having me, guys.
Thank you, Brady.
There you go. So his points about Notre Dame are obviously interesting and obviously accurate.
You're right.
You don't really think about it from that point of view.
I mean, the reality is the super conference that we're espousing here, it's not happening for at least 5 or 6 years, right? So in the interim, if they do go to 12 playoff teams, which is, what's the earliest?
2025, I think. I think it's 2025.
So it'll actually be right at that nexus point, you know what I mean, where the ACC and the Big Ten and the Pac-12, they're also deciding, are we going to go to 16 or are we going to stay where we are and just kind of take our chances? So Notre Dame has some time to make this decision, whether they stay independent or not. Yes, the playoff is one thing. The money is, you can't ignore it.
You can't. And unlike some other schools that if they show too much trepidation to maybe switch, they might get left at the altar. Notre Dame, if they're willing to ever move, Notre Dame doors will fly open for Notre Dame.
Doubt.
Come on in, Irish.
Right. Hey, we got to get rid of you, whoever. Sorry.
Buddy, kick him out. Bring him in. They'll make us some more bank. What did we learn from the Rodgers situation? The quarterback drama. What did we exactly learn? Hit that next. Tiki and Tierney coming back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.